What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. The third of the four-hour sports talk extravaganza known as the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Why?
I just felt like booing you.
That's fair. You're not alone in that. Happens way more regularly than I'd like. You know who is not going to get booed? In fact, quite the opposite. If anything, the club horn sounds when we are joined live from Columbia, South Carolina, by a young lady who covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She is the lovely Lulu Kesson joining us here on the broadcast. Good morning, young lady. Welcome back.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. How are you guys?
We are here. We are rolling into a new year, Lulu Kesson. Life's good.
Awesome. How far along of shrinking are you?
Let's see. We are three episodes into season two at this point. And it is gotten to gut punch time as he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Roy Kent has showed up and not in the role I expected Roy Kent in, Lulu Kesson. I was a little, I was quiet for a few minutes.
Yeah, and it's crazy to see him without a beard too, but apparently they like wouldn't, because he's a writer and like a producer of the show, and it was revealed that he was going to be in season two, and I was like, I was kind of trying to make a prediction in my head, but I won't spoil it for anyone listening, but I did not think that he was going to be that character. Then when he came out without a beard, I was like, this is not the Roy Kent that I remember.
By the way, I need you to know, and I think you'll appreciate this, Lulu Kesson. I was watching this episode with the wife, and when they showed him for the first time, sans beard, she paused the show and she looked at me and she said, Roy Kent is why you're never allowed to shave.
That's hilarious.
It wasn't to me, Lulu. It wasn't to me. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. And the fan ups say, we will get to Dawn Staley's gals here in just a minute, but I think we got to open up with the football team, Lulu Kesson, and let us start with this one. We found out yesterday that that young man that plays quarterback over there in Columbia, young man in Lenora Sellers, named the National Freshman of the Year. Pretty good year for Lenora. What does that award say about Lenora Sellers, about the progression of his career, about how South Carolina developed him into a starter through the season, that he has been named the National Freshman Player of the Year?
Totally. I think exactly that. I think it's an award kind of that is given to him because of his growth, because of his progression. You know, I think all the time that Lenora was the Old Dominion game, even a little bit of the Kentucky game, he was just a totally different quarterback than he was against Clemson and Illinois. And I think that any award that he's given is truly just him, you know, exceeding expectations this year, because there's proof. He was not on preseason watch lists. He was ranked, I think, 16th of all the SEC quarterbacks. People did not believe in him. And so awards, especially like the one of the caliber that he got yesterday, I mean, that just speaks to his growth and obviously the culture and the vibe around the program that allows him to kind of flourish like that.
Lenore Sellers as a quarterback next year is already being labeled as a potential Heisman Trophy front runner, Lulu Kesson. In the interactions that you have had with the football program and the postgame pressers and all that, do you feel like Lenora Sellers is, because let's keep it a buck here, there was pressure on the Gamecocks this year, but not going to Heisman caliber levels for Lenora Sellers. Do you believe he's a guy that can rise to that level of pressure to carry this team again next year, now that the news is out that, hey, this kid can ball a little bit?
I'm definitely curious to sort of see how that goes. I think, you know, technically it was his second year in the program, but like you hear about like the sophomore slump sometimes. I'm not saying that Lenoris is necessarily going to plateau or take a step down, but I am curious to see what his sort of looks like without having that underdog mentality and kind of storyline to go with him. You know, I can, I guess, a little bit look at his junior to senior year playing in high school, but it's kind of hard to compare high school to SEC football. It's just so different. So based on who Lenoris is, I don't expect there to be a drop-off. I don't expect the moment to get too big for him, just because time and time again he's proven that he truly is just so calm and kind of takes things almost one minute at a time. He has probably one of the most intense competitive spirits of anyone I've ever covered, but at the same time, he's just steady, calm, doesn't show a lot of emotions, doesn't let the moment get too big or too small until it's over. Obviously, he'll like celebrate the Clemson touchdown when it's time to, but I've been very impressed with how he's sort of handled each and every moment this season, and I imagine that it won't be too different next year, even though that the bigger moments are more consistent.
Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joins the Rob Brown Show every Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk South Carolina athletics. We've been watching transfer portal news. We've been watching, obviously, we're kind of in a quiet period for recruiting with National Signing Day now less than a month and a half away. Lulu Kesson, can you kind of just give us a general update on some of the highlights taking place in the football offices right now?
Yeah, and I don't want to mispronounce the player's last name, but his first name's Brandon, and he's a cornerback from NC State. And it's rumored that he picked South Carolina over Ole Miss, which is always a joyous day in Columbia for fans. He's from South Carolina, and Lane Kiffin like posted a picture of him in his hometown. I think it was like a building or an airport or something that said like, hey, I'm recruiting this kid. And then a 247 site for Ole Miss said that he was on a visit. And then, three days ago, late Monday night, he committed to South Carolina. And he's a talented player. He played 9 games and he started all 9 of them for NC State. He missed, I think, 3 with some type of like lower leg injury. But besides that, people seem really excited about him. And I think that was kind of potentially not the last, you know, transfer of the cycle, but a definitely exciting one, because regardless of the how good he might be, South Carolina fans love to do anything that involves like rubbing things in Lane Kiffin's face, especially if it means taking a player right from under him.
Who in the world, Lulu Kesson, would enjoy trolling Lane Kiffin? Come on.
I know, right? It's like, it's not like his Twitter presence isn't public enough for it. There's just nothing out there to make fun of him for, you know?
Lane Kiffin. Joey Freshwater, just absolute goat. But when you troll, expect to be retrolled back the other direction. All right, let's talk about Dawn Staley's Gamecocks here for just a minute. You had the big win over Texas. You got Alabama coming up tonight. This is a streak of ranked games for the Gamecocks. I think it is fair to say, Lulu Kesson, correct me if I'm wrong here, that the Gamecocks might be in their most difficult regular season stretch on the schedule. Obviously, a lot of basketball to be played between here and the end of February into early March. But I think this might be the most difficult stretch. And the Gamecocks seem to be handling it despite having a couple of injuries they're having to deal with and shift things around a little bit. Dawn Staley's got her girls playing good basketball.
Totally. Texas was a huge, obviously very difficult game on Sunday. They weathered that storm and took the win. But looking at, I would say if you had to look at the next four games, the next two could potentially be a little bit easier than the latter two. But that's honestly only because both Alabama and Oklahoma are kind of banged up injury-wise and don't necessarily have the same depth that South Carolina does. That said, they're two incredibly talented SEC teams that are going to give South Carolina some trouble in a lot of ways. But, man, oh, man, when they have LSU and Tennessee back-to-back next week, like, that's when they're really going to be battle-tested, and that's going to be probably some of the best women's basketball all season, in my opinion. But I think a good match for South Carolina is Alabama, and I think tonight's game will be a good chance for South Carolina to improve on some things that went wrong against Texas, and also, you know, get a little bit of just their confidence back in some ways before they have an even tougher stretch of ranked opponents.
Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, as she does every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Break this Alabama game down for me. I got to tell you, like, it's been, as somebody who watches both the men's and women's game, Alabama's interesting because Nate Oates showed up, and all of a sudden, like, Bama fans have turned this basketball program on both the men's and the women's side into a nationally recognized program, and both sides of the program have been floated because of it. This is not a go in there, throw the garnet and black jersey on the floor and wipe them out as some other teams are, Lulu Kesson. This is, at least to me, this is a game the Lady Gamecocks are going to have to be on their game to win. Break this one down for me a little bit.
Right. And I think, so Alabama's without Sarah Ashley Barker, obviously a key player, one of their best. She's a graduate student. She's kind of, I would say the game flows through her. That said, Zay Green is averaging 16.7 points this year, which is 10th in the SEC. She's also averaging, I think, 4 rebounds and 4 assists. Like, she's a player that is going to pose a huge threat to South Carolina wherever she is on the floor because of her talent and her versatility. So that's just one automatic, like a one-on-one matchup that South Carolina has to think about tonight, especially that she has height. She's 6'2", which likely means it'll be either Sanaa Fagan or Chloe Kitts guarding her, not necessarily the fastest players on the court. For South Carolina, it was different than when, you know, the best player on the court was Madison Booker on Sunday. And although she was taller, she could play as a guard. And so Bree Hall, a quick guard, could defend her. Alabama's well coached. Their coach has been, you know, in women's basketball for almost 2 decades now, I believe. And so it's, like you said, it's a program that isn't going away. They've made the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. If anything, they're on the rise. They're continuing to get better and better. I mean, they're 24-10 last year. That's not bad. Like you said, they're going to give South Carolina trouble in some ways, and especially if South Carolina doesn't clean up the turnovers, they're just too talented of a team that they're going to take advantage and score on the other end.
Lulu Kesson is joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So as far as this Gamecock team right now, Lulu Kesson, I mean, obviously this is a team that's got national championship aspirations. It's got certainly talent. With the adversity this team has felt so far this year, a couple of L's earlier in the year, do you think that this is an opportunity for a repeat for Dawn Staley?
100%. I think South Carolina can win the national championship this year. I genuinely think in some ways it is, can they get out of their own way and recognize that they're at their best when they do certain things that are within their program. Like, I'm saying that because obviously when you get into the tournament and just with the way that the you know, the March Madness is set up. It's like technically anyone can beat anyone. That's the story. That's their Cinderella stories. That's what March Madness is. That's what I love. But at the same time, South Carolina knows its worth. And I think that's a really important key factor in a lot of their success in the tournament, is that they don't let other people tell them that they might be the biggest upset. They kind of stay out of that mentality. However, South Carolina, at the same time, like, they could face a Notre Dame earlier in the tournament than they did the last couple years. It's sort of a matter of who's in their bracket, and then when they're in these situations, if they play, you know, within themselves and understand what's at stake and kind of have that intense level of focus, I think that's when South Carolina plays their best basketball.
What an answer. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. Before we let you go, Lulu Kessin, I was patrolling your Twitter feed earlier this morning just to get a vibe on what you've been talking about, what you've been covering. I would like to congratulate your alumnus, UMass, for setting an NCAA record, Lulu Kessin.
Heck yeah. It was crazy night to be a Minuteman last night. You know, Diggin setting a program record 46 points and then setting like an NCAA record for most fouls and most fouled out players.
But 75 fouls, 112 surrendered free throw attempts.
I will say this. I'm very glad that I was not a student reporter covering that game, because triple overtime on a school night, I wish I could say that it would have just electrified me in the moment, but hey, watching that, I was like yawning. However, absolutely electric. Go you. Proud UMass alum.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. Nothing better than a game that sees one team shoot 57 free throws and the other shoot 65 of them. What an electric night out there between those two squads. Lulu Kessin, you can follow her on X at Lulu Kessin, K-E-S-I-N. Or you can just come back here every Thursday at 8 a.m. when she joins us. Lulu, you are the best, young lady. Thank you very much, as always.
Thank you. And I'll say really quickly that if anyone listening wants to read more about the UMass game, I'm going to plug my former student paper, The Daily Collegian, and Samantha Sands should have some really great content from that game for you. So go check it out if you're curious.
If you think there's a game I want to read more about than a game with 75 free throws, or was 120 free throws, you don't know me. Lulu, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Anytime. Lulu Kessin here on the show. L-U-L-U-K-E-S-I-N is the Twitter handle. Make sure you check her out when we come back here in just a minute. We go back to the National Football League. Break down some of these divisional round games, including Baltimore and Buffalo, live from Orchard Park, and more. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. And you are listening to The Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great Milonzo, and you. Phone lines open for you. Text lines open for you. They're the same line. 844-326-3663. 844-FANFO and 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the radio broadcast this AM. Texter said, Rob, why are these games played on a Monday every year? I don't understand. Wouldn't you have better ratings on a Saturday? Or is it because you're going against the NFL playoffs? Go Catholics, beat the horse chestnuts. Yes, that is why. We have already shown, and granted, this was not the Natty. This was not the national championship. These were not just two playoff games, but they were probably the least two anticipated of the first round playoff games. But when the college football playoffs went up against the NFL back in the opening round of the college football playoffs, and remember, these were against NFL games that, I'm not going to say didn't mean anything, but like weren't massively consequential. They got hammered by the NFL. They are not going to beat the NFL. I genuinely, you could put the college football national championship game. They could put the college football national championship game up against an opening round wild card playoff game, and the playoff game is going to drum it. That's not an indication of it's a good or a bad. It just is what it is, right? This is the United States of America is an NFL country first. It doesn't feel that way because y'all, we, us collectively win in a region that prefers its college football. But again, go on down on Sunday, any given football Sunday, go on down to your local sports bar on NFL Sunday. It's packed, all right? We love the NFL. So they're not going to put it up against it. And I know this segment's been done 2,000 times probably already this morning. But the question got asked, and I'm a man of the people, so I'm going to answer it. The answer is the NFL would get, I mean, excuse me, college football would get it handed to them. Would get it handed to them if they went up against especially the NFL playoffs. They're just not going to compete. And so you have two options, which is play it, well, I guess technically three. You could play it on Thursday, you could play it on Friday, you could play it on Monday. Friday's a non-starter. Friday's a non-starter because Friday nights are just the worst TV night. People do not watch TV on Friday in the number. This is why there's really nothing outside of SmackDown. There's really nothing on Friday. TV shows don't debut new episodes on Fridays. There's very little sport on Fridays. And granted, the NFL absolutely would put games up on Fridays. But legally, they're not allowed to. But they don't. You don't do sports on Friday. And SmackDown's only on Friday because it's been around for so long in that time slot and has a very dedicated audience to it. So Friday's not an option, which leaves you Monday or Thursday. It leaves you Monday or Thursday. Thursdays, I guess technically would work. I don't think they're any better or worse than Monday in terms of ratings. I'm not a TV exec, and I haven't studied this stuff since I left college 16 years ago. But Mondays make the most sense, as I believe Mondays traditionally have a higher overall television rating than other nights of the week. That's why Monday Night Football is Monday Night Football and not Thursday Night Football.
Because people just went back to work. It's Monday, and you're like, oh. Got to find something to take my mind off of what just happened today.
Just Mondays, dude.
Every day is basically the same around here for me, but still, for a lot of people, Monday just tears them. I mean, what other reason would there be for Monday to be that?
Monday's a good TV night. I mean, sure, I suspect it's largely because people got hammered. Okay, I was going to say people got hammered at work on Monday. I meant like in terms of work.
Some did and got away with it and some got caught.
That's true. People got slammed at work on a Monday. Monday night's chill out night, relax night, whatever. I think that it is on a Monday because it's not going to go up against the NFL. We all know that. I think it's on a Monday because they have two options then, which are, again, Thursday or Monday. And right now, we know Monday is a night that we as football fans are trained to watch football, right? Like Monday Night Football is on Monday. There's no Monday Night NFL football. So let's play it on Monday in the Monday Night Football slot because we know people watch football on Monday nights. So I think we would all prefer it on a Saturday, but the reality here is, and I've said this before, would I prefer it on a Saturday? Yes, but also no, because I'm going to tell you right now, it would get, I'm special. I have the bro cave. where I got five screens set up on demand, it would get the smaller screen. I'm an NFL guy first. And the problem you have here is it doesn't feel like it in this area. America is NFL first. The College Football National Championship, and keep in mind, if you need to know what any football decision's motivation is, the answer is money. It's always money. It's always been money. It's always going to be money. And so if you have this job, which is get as many eyeballs on the product as you possibly can, while it would be easier for those of you that are college football first fans to watch it on a Saturday night, it would be neglected by a huge viewing audience who would be watching the Detroit Lions, a Super Bowl favorite, play a home game against maybe the most electric rookie we've seen since Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels, probably the biggest wild card in the probably the biggest wild card in these playoffs, right? Is Jaden Daniels. So if you put the natty, even if you put the natty on a Saturday, where college football fans will sit there and tell you, hey man, like it's easier for me to watch if you put it on a Saturday, it's not gonna matter. It's gonna get killed by the NFL. Even if the numbers were a 50-50 split, they would not be. But if there's 120 million college football viewers and NFL viewers, even if the number was split 50-50, there is a huge number of potential viewers that would be watching the NFL game ahead of the college game. So you put it on a Monday for one reason and one reason alone. That is the way you are going to get the most people watching it. Even if you have less of you dedicated college football fans watching it late into Monday, potentially like Lonzo, an Ohio State fan, the reality is there's a lot of folks who are not watching it on Mondays or on Saturday over an NFL playoff game. That's just going to be what it is. So we'll see how it plays when the ratings come out late next week. But that's your answer, Texter. They play it on a Monday because that's the night of the week that you're going to get the most eyeballs on the product. You don't lose them to the NFL. And if you are dedicated enough as a college football fan that you care this much about it, let's be real, you're watching it Monday and you'll just be tired on Tuesday, right? The number of viewers that will skip it to watch NFL playoff football is greater than the number of viewers who are going to go, it's Monday, I got to go nighty-night for a Tuesday job, so I can't watch this. I'll DVR it tomorrow. There are more people that will watch the NFL instead of college football than there are people who won't watch on Monday because it's Monday. There's just more of them. So you're going to play it for the perspective viewership. That's just how these decisions get made. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Let's talk Baltimore Buffalo's the game this weekend, right? Like, it's the game. So let's talk about that, the game. Rashad Beard would be coming by. He's got to push till tomorrow. So we'll have Rashad Beard coming up tomorrow on the show. 9 o'clock, Fight Club jumps up a segment because Mario had a doctor's appointment, had to move it around. He'll join us at 9:20 to talk about the divisional round. And then we wrap it up with what the X is going on at the end of the show. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Baltimore Ravens travel to take on the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park, upstate New York, this weekend. Zo, off the cuff, the key to this game for either or both teams is what?
Stopping the run.
Good luck with Derrick Henry.
Either side, stopping the run. And then it's a quarterback show, and it's whichever one has the better game. Because I think they're pretty evenly matched. I know some people will lean towards Josh Allen, but I think they're pretty evenly matched. Even running, because Josh Allen's a very good runner. So, I mean, it really comes down to who stops the run game and forces the other quarterback to. And then this is such a coin toss. It just really is.
I think you have to, if you are Buffalo. I think you have to key in on Derrick Henry. Honestly, I think you got to let Lamar be Lamar, understand Lamar is going to burn you a couple of times, but I think you've got to key in on Derrick Henry. I don't think there is another way to do that. I go look at the Derrick Henry stats on the year. In a loss against Philadelphia back on December 1st, Derrick Henry had 82 yards. In a loss against Pittsburgh, Derrick Henry had 65 yards. In a one-point win over Cincinnati, he had 68. In a shocking loss to Cleveland, he had 73. In an overtime win against Cincinnati, he had 92. In the loss to the Raiders, he had 84. In the loss to the Chiefs, he had 46. I think you have to stop Derrick Henry. In those three wins where they blew out Pittsburgh, Houston, and Cleveland to end the year, he had 162, 147, and 138. I think Buffalo has to sell out on Derrick Henry.
Are the teams that much different than they were when they matched up earlier in the season?
Yes. Buffalo's actually healthier this time around. They're going to have their full complement of wide receivers.
So it's not going to be a blowout like it was then when it was 35-10 Ravens.
And in fact, I'm picking the over in this game because I think both of these teams will get into the 30s, maybe the 40s when it's all said and done. I think Baltimore can put up 35 against Buffalo, even with them keying in on, by the way, Derrick Henry had 199 yards in that game.
Weather forecast. It's supposed to snow, right?
Let's find out.
I believe it's supposed to snow, which might bring those numbers down.
I don't know that it does, because I think you can lean in on Derrick Henry's going to be Derrick Henry. No matter if it's 2 degrees or 200 degrees, he's just him. According to CBS Sports, daytime high of 20 degrees, expected to drop by halftime to roughly 8 degrees. AccuWeather estimates the temperature will feel with wind chill -3 at kickoff. And both outlets are calling for at least a 40% chance of snow. Now, it's not going to be windy. Expected cap of 5 to 10 miles an hour per the Weather Channel. But it could end up being a wintry mix.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Predominantly snow, but a wintry mix. Look. Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry, whether it's the snow, the sleet, the rain, the shine.
And these are both cold weather teams, so it's not going to affect one over the other.
Yeah, I don't know that either one has an advantage. Okay, let's rephrase that. I think Buffalo has just played more snow games over the past 2 or 3 years than Baltimore has. It is a lot snowier up in Buffalo than it is in Baltimore. That's not to say Baltimore ain't played some snow games. They have. I think Buffalo's better suited for the weather. But I think Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry. I mean, that's just who he is. That's what he's going to do. My question mark is, how efficient will Lamar Jackson be if it is 8 degrees and snowing? -3 with a wind chill and snowing. How efficient will Lamar be able to be? Will he tighten up any? Will he still be able to spin the bean if it is snowy outside? Like, what does Lamar Jackson turn into? And because of that, if I am the defense, if I am Buffalo's defensive coordinator, it's key in on Derrick Henry. I want hands on 22 every snap. I want Derrick Henry to feel at the end of the game, even if he gets to a $135, a $140, to feel like he FAFO'd by going and running into the teeth of the Buffalo defense. That's what I have to have. It's not even a want. I don't think you can win if you do anything else in this game. If you go look at the games that Baltimore lost or won in close ones, Derrick Henry's 80 yards or below in just about all of them. There's a couple of big blowout wins, but they're against, like, the Giants. They won 35-14. Derrick Henry had 67 yards. Let's see. Where are the other ones? You had the 92 yards in a 41-38 win over Cincinnati. We talked about that. The two losses, he had 84 or below to end the season. The thing is, there are games where Derrick Henry doesn't really get going. Now, those are ordinarily the games that you look and you go, damn, Lamar had a day through the air. But I think if you're Buffalo, you've got to stop Derrick Henry. You've got to give your offense extra possessions. You got to give Josh Allen a chance to be Josh Allen. You got to go get him the football. And there's another aspect to that, which is if Derrick Henry has a day, what ends up happening to the clock? Tick, tock, tick, tock. If Derrick Henry has a day and Baltimore is going on some of these 6.5, 7 minute possessions that we've seen Baltimore go on throughout the course of the year, what are you doing? You're playing the best defense you can play against Josh Allen, which is keeping his ass on the bench. If Josh Allen's on the field, Buffalo gets points. How do I stop that? 7.5, 8 minute drives. Grind down on that defense. Do not let Josh Allen and Keon Coleman and Amari Cooper, don't let them get into any. If Buffalo gets into the ability to throw the football, pass the football, if they're clicking to the point that Keon Coleman's getting involved with those snappy underneath route runs that he can go on, that's where it suddenly becomes a 38-35, 42-40 shootout. And I don't think Baltimore wants to get into a shootout. Can they? Yes. Can they win it? Also probably yes. Do they want to? Nah. I don't think they want to risk that. I think Baltimore would love to keep this game in the 20s. I think Baltimore would love to go on those 7.5, 8 minute stretches. But I think Baltimore would be thrilled, great one, if there were 3 possessions a quarter and no more.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? If they can have 3, and I'm talking between both teams, but if they can have 3 possessions a quarter, Baltimore's got a much better chance of winning this game. I like Baltimore, for the record. Somebody just texted and said, Rob, shut up, who are you picking? Which is a great text. Shut up, who are you picking? I'm picking Baltimore to win this game.
That, to me, is text of the day. You can't beat that.
Rob, shut up, who are you picking? That's fantastic text. So, to shut up and tell you who I'm picking.
So all the hype all through this entire year about your boy Josh Allen, and you're going to pick him to lose?
Who's my other dog? Lamar Jackson, bud.
I don't know. You have some Bryce Young.
My dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. I got some dogs. I like guys who can play ball. BY can play ball. Lamar Jackson can play ball. Josh Allen can play ball.
I would say out of all the playoff games this weekend, the easiest one to pick is Baltimore over Buffalo.
I don't agree with that.
I mean, it should be the best game, but I think that's the easiest one to pick.
You're on a Baltimore runaway here.
So Baltimore's going to win. I'm not going to say it's going to be another blowout, but they're all definitely going to win.
Tell me in your opinion what it is that makes this an easy pick for Baltimore.
I said this earlier in the week. It's Derrick Henry, and I know. And then you pointed out that Buffalo also has a good running back,
James Cook.
But here's the thing.
He ain't Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry knows this is the end. I mean, he's near the end of his career, and this is his best shot by far to make it to the Super Bowl. And I think that he believes, like a lot of the country believes, that whoever wins this game is going to beat Kansas City and go to the Super Bowl.
I didn't know. Rest in peace, Derrick Henry. We'll miss you. We hardly knew you.
Never said he was.
We hardly knew you.
I was talking about the end of his career. How old is Derrick Henry?
Let's see. Derrick Henry is 29. He's up there, isn't he? He is 31. No, he's 32.
This is probably his last chance.
No, he's 31. He turns 32. Oh, he just turned 31. Okay, I was looking at his birthday, and I'm bad at math. He was born in 94, so he's 31.
Which is,
wrong side of the bump, but he's also putting you up a bunch of 160 games.
He is, but when that thing hits a running back, even though they have a really great season at that age, when it hits it, that's it. They're done. I mean, there's nothing left. We've seen it happen with Emmitt Smith, with a bunch of other guys where they're really good and good late into their career, and then suddenly it was gone. So I do believe that he knows that it's close, and this is his best shot. That's why he went to Buffalo. He could have went to a couple different places. I mean, went to Baltimore. He went there because he knows he's got a shot at going to the Super Bowl.
Yes, I agree with that. And again, Lamar Jackson's already said a couple of times, he's like, look, here's the deal. We've been jittery in the playoffs so far, and we don't have that same attitude. And I do believe Derrick Henry's a big part of that reason.
So do I. And I think Lamar gets nervous, just hand the ball off to King Henry and let him do his thing.
See, I don't even think Lamar's going to get nervous. I don't think the issue's been Lamar Jackson in these
He
playoffs.
Has said that he gets nervous. I mean, he's just said it a few times lately, saying that he gets nervous, he gets too excited, and that's part of the problem.
I mean, that's, again, like, that's fair.
Handing the ball off to that guy, that's going to make you less nervous.
When in doubt, give it to 22. I think that is absolutely the mentality that you have to take here, no doubt about that. I think that, run the damn ball. Like, this is real simple. Run the damn ball, and you're going to win a lot of football games. I just think that to dismiss what is built on the other side of the football field as incapable of keeping up with that is where you get yourself in trouble. I think people look at, and I think this is an easy thing to do. I think people look at Derrick Henry and what Derrick Henry is doing and has done. I think people look at Derrick Henry, what Derrick Henry is and has done, and I think that they compare and contrast and go, Buffalo doesn't have Derrick Henry. I don't disagree. They got James Cook, though. And James Cook has been quietly like a top 7-8 runner in the game. Like quietly a top 7-8 runner in the game. And so when I combine that with Josh Allen, who, as we have talked about, has had one kryptonite in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. The existence of Patrick Mahomes has been the only kryptonite for Josh Allen so far. When I have Josh Allen over there, I have James Cook, who, like we said, has quietly been a top 8, top 9, top 10 running back in the league this year. I absolutely think that they can keep up with Baltimore. This is why Baltimore has got to limit possessions for Buffalo, has got to turn this into a grinded-out football game, has got to keep Josh Allen on the sideline. That's the option.
This is also best case scenario for Kansas City. And it was from the beginning. And if things play out how they probably will, Kansas City's in the AFC Championship game against a beat up either Baltimore or Buffalo team.
Oh, I agree with that entirely. I agree with that entirely. If you're Kansas City, you're watching this game and hoping that James Cook and Derrick Henry just get the hell beat out of them by these defenses. Because I do think the opposite is true too. I think for Baltimore, you started your take with stop the run game. Couldn't agree more. Both directions. You got to remove James Cook from the equation. I am going to make it to where I say, Josh Allen, if you're going to win this game by being Josh Allen, you're going to have to be the best version of Josh Allen. And if you take James Cook out of that equation, that ends up happening. Or it's what, not Josh Allen ends up guaranteed being the best Josh Allen. That's a situation in which you create that Josh Allen. If James Cook is running the ball well, everything else opens up even more. If James Cook isn't running the ball well, now Josh Allen's got to be a quarterback who can run, not a run threat who is also an excellent quarterback. And if you create that world, that's your best chance of winning this game if you are Baltimore. I would agree with that. All right. When we come back in the next hour of the show, we bat lead off with, ordinarily at 9:20, but this morning for one day only at 9 a.m., Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo, going to walk us through the worlds of boxing, MMA, and professional wrestling. Then at 9:20, Hayton Ass Mario going to join us on the show to give us his thoughts on the NFL's divisional round. All of that is coming up in the next segment after Lonzo lets you hear what pure seduction sounds like with this Sports Flash.
Yeah, I don't need to comment because he's 100% accurate. After a semifinal exit from the college football playoffs, Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers has elected to enter the NFL draft. Ewers went 21-5 as a starter with two semifinal appearances, leading the only two Longhorn wins in the playoff format, and exits with 9,128 yards and 68 touchdowns. We'll see how that translates into the NFL. The South Carolina Gamecocks dropped a close contest to Vanderbilt on the road 66-63. Gamecocks shot over 42% from the floor and allowed Vanderbilt to shoot 41%, but with 11 more attempts and 5 more three-point attempts, the Gamecocks turned the ball over 25 times. That's bad. Tune in this Saturday at 4:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mocs. It's Furman versus Chattanooga right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan, Upstate.